I've been talking about, I think we would call it, how to get your prayers answered. First couple of weeks, we looked at some things that hinder prayers getting answered, and then we've been focusing more on how to do it right here the last few sessions. And so tonight, I'm going to talk about, I decided to call this message tonight, Prayer That Changes Things. Now, you know, we're talking about how to get your prayers answered, and some people say, well, God answers all prayer, but He answers some yes, some no, and some wait a while. When I'm talking about getting your prayers answered, I'm talking about yes and amen, right? Now, how many here believe prayer changes things? But have you noticed that some people's prayers seem to change more things than other people's prayers? So it must make a difference how you pray. That's why you need to learn how to pray. And so, as I said, we're going to be talking about tonight how to pray prayer that changes things. Really, we've been dealing with that all along. And I just wonder, as I get started tonight, if anybody has something brief that you could share about how prayer has changed something in your life just recently. Anybody? If you're going to do it, I want you to come get up here at this microphone if you're going to do it. Anybody? Now, you don't have to make up one, but I just thought somebody might have something just recently the Lord has done in answer to prayer. Yeah, Brother Robert. All right, I'm going to take this black mic down there. Make sure it's on the tape, Ashley. And that's the main reason you need to talk into this.
Well, I was just sharing with Sister here that I had a friend of mine about 2 years ago. Before we come to the Lord, we weren't saved. We was out at the beach kind of drinking and kind of got back to the camper and started talking about God. And we kind of got a little scared there waiting for the lightning to hit. So we kind of said, this ain't the right time to be talking about this. And he's seen a difference in me. And I've just, you know, been telling him what Jesus has done and the teaching, the anointing that's on Jim's word just out in the radio. And I got news from my wife a couple of days ago that they'd heard he had a CAT scan, and we'd seen him about a month and a half ago. And she came on and told me, I said, a CAT scan? I said, he needs Jesus. You know, that's in my heart. I said, what's his number? And I called him up, and I could tell in his voice that he was in pain, but then he tried to cover it up. When I was there, Satan tried to cover it up. The first call, I had to call information, and Satan didn't want me to get the number. The woman kind of laughed and said, Landis, did you say brief, Jim?
Okay. Yeah.
But anyway, he got on there, and I said, I've heard you had a CAT scan. And he said, yeah, I've been having these migraine headaches, and I need you to pray for my marriage. And I said, okay, but first thing, I said, we're going to get rid of them headaches, because that was the first thing I tackled was a headache. And I just prayed in the name of Jesus. I bound that headache up. I said, Satan, you're going to loose this man because he's a child of God, believes in Jesus, and Satan, you have no authority over him. And then I said, is it gone? And he said, yeah. I mean, he never experienced the healing that Jesus has done. And then I said, Tony, is it gone? And he said, yeah, thank you. And I said, no, thank Jesus. And he said, thank you, Lord. And that's how great he is.
Uh-huh. Amen. Yes, that's right. Yes, sir. Now, did you ever wonder when you was getting ready to pray that whether God might want to heal him or not? No, I don't think you did, because you've already found out something else. But, yes, ma'am, you want to? All right, come up here.
Last Wednesday night, Pastor Jim prayed for, we asked him to pray for us because the Cabrera's Children's Choir was going to Atlanta for competition. And the choirs brought back three trophies, and we got there safe and sound. And my daughter said, prayer, Mama, prayer. Jim, pray for us. And I said, you're right. I say prayer changes things.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Of course, Pastor gave a testimony before we started. He prayed for us Sunday. We had a good day. And that's important, right? Prayer makes the difference. And if you're in 1 John chapter 5, really, I used this scripture last week. I talked about don't pray. Don't pray iffy prayers. And iffy is God can do it if he wants to. Some people pray if it's his will. Well, the thing is, you need to pray. If you want to pray a prayer that changes things, you have to pray in God's will. If you're praying something outside of God's will, don't even be looking for an answer. But here's the thing. The thing is, in most cases, you can know the will of God. In fact, faith is based on the Word of God, and you can't pray in faith unless you know it's God's will. And so this scripture, we looked at it last week, but I just want to read it again to remind you in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, and says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of Him." So what it tells us here is that if I pray a prayer, that I can have this confidence, that if I pray a prayer, ask for anything according to the will of God, I know that He hears that prayer. And I also know, and if I know that He hears me, whatever I ask, then I know that I have the petition that I desired of Him. So really all I need to know is if I'm praying something according to the will of God, all I have to know is that He heard me. And I can have that confidence that He heard me because He hears prayers. The prayer of the righteous, His ears are open to them. And you see what we pointed out last week. So the first thing is, if you want to pray a prayer that changes things, you have to pray in accordance with God's will. And what we found out last week is that the word, His word is His will. Now, just like the testimony we just heard in praying for the man, migraine headaches. He needed healing. Can I find in this Word of God here, could I open this book somewhere and find that it is the will of God to heal? Yes. I mean, just to give you some examples, you know, just looking at the life of Jesus, if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And everywhere He went, it says, and He healed them all. As many as touched Him were made whole. And then you remember that in the book of Psalms in 103, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." And then it starts naming benefits. "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities." Well, is it God's will to hold anybody's sin against them? No, it's not His will that even one should perish, but that all should come to a knowledge of Him. All right? But then the next thing it says is, I mean, most folks that go to church will agree with that. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Next thing it says is, who healeth all of thy diseases. Say, well, if that's true, that can't be what that means, because I know some people that are sick and didn't get healed. Well, listen, I know some people that are sinners that never got saved yet. But that doesn't mean it's not God's will to save them. I mean, just they hadn't figured out how to get a hold of it. I mean, really, that's what it amounts to, because once a person ever understands what it means to be saved and what you have to do it, you couldn't hold them back if they ever get a revelation of that and see that. I mean, all it says is, accept Jesus and He wipes your record clean. Lets you go to heaven instead of hell. I mean, who would turn down a deal like that unless they didn't get it? And so you can open this Word of God and find God's will concerning healing you. You can, just like I gave you one example, you can open this Word of God and find God's will concerning saving the lost. I don't think any one of you would ever, if somebody you knew called you up and said, "Listen, I need to find Jesus. I need you to help me get saved." I don't think one of you would say, "Well, now, brother, you can't know if it's God's will to save you or not." Because you read enough of the Bible to know you can open this Word of God and find out God's will concerning your salvation. I want you to look in Matthew chapter 9. And I want to look at an example of something here, Matthew 9. And Matthew chapter 9, and I'll begin reading at verse 35. Matthew 9, beginning at verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel, or the good news of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now, I know one thing that Jesus, it says He was preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Well, if these people had faith to get healed, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I heard Dr. Summerall, he's still on the radio. He's in heaven, but he's still on the radio. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
And he said the other day, and he was saying the Lord told him years ago that whatever you want to see happening in your church, that's what you have to preach. He said, some people say, well, we don't ever see anybody healed in our church. He said, you need to preach healing and you'll see people getting healed. We don't ever see folks getting filled with the Spirit in our church. You need to preach the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you'll see people receiving it. Some churches don't ever see anybody getting saved. I can tell you why. They're not preaching it. You know, coming in there Sunday morning, reading a little poem or something like that. Well, it's by the foolishness of the preaching of the gospel that folks get saved. But it says in verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. Now that word doesn't mean what we normally think of fainted, but I got a little marginal note here. It says they were tired and lay down. They just kind of, it's like they gave up. And one definition I saw somewhere for that word fainted says to lose faith and fall back. But he had compassion on them, the multitude, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. They didn't have nobody to lead them to a place to find the food. So Jesus had compassion on the multitude. He went into the synagogues and preached the gospel of the kingdom and healed every sickness, every disease among the people. And then I don't know, the Bible's not clear about this, but when it says, but when he saw the multitude, I assume that the multitude was people that were not in the synagogue. That's the folks out here that's going about their business. You know, when we have church on Sunday, you that are in here, you here, and on Wednesday night, you hear the Word of God, and you get yourself in a position where you can get healed and delivered. But there's a whole lot of folks out here running around on the streets that are about to give up, and they don't have a shepherd. Everybody, Sunday morning, I talked about your need to be in a good church, be established in a good church. Jesus is my pilot, or my captain. The Word of God is my anchor. No, start over, Jim. Jesus is my captain, the Word of God is my compass, and the church is my anchor. And these folks didn't have a shepherd. They didn't have a pastor. And Jesus had compassion on them, and then he said unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. All right, now here's a specific direction in the Bible about how to pray about something. You know people that are out here in the multitude that are lost need Jesus? Maybe people that you have some acquaintance with that you've... It might be a stranger you walk by and you just get that compassion Jesus had for them. You know what shape they're in. But sometimes it's people you work with, sometimes it's relatives or whatever it might be. But he tells us here what to pray. He didn't say, well, pray for God. Pray, well, God save them. Well, God's been wanting to save them all the time. You didn't need to tell him that, but you need... What prayer does is release God's ability to do something. John Wesley said, it seems that God can do nothing on the earth except first someone here pray and ask him to do it. Because why? Because he put us here and gave us a free will, and he's not going to invade our free will. You see, I've had three married children, and they all live outside of my house. And I don't go in their house and tell them what to do, even if it's something I know they need to do. Now, if they ask me for some help with the situation, then I'll step into it. Well, God, my Father, treats me the same way. And he'll put up with anything I'll put up with in my life. That doesn't mean he's wanting to, but I'll tell you what, as soon as I ask for it, he shows up. And he said, so here's how you ought to pray. You have loved ones, you have friends, you have people that are lost. One thing you definitely ought to be praying is for the Lord to send laborers into the harvest. And a lot of times, particularly if you're related to them, they won't listen to you. I don't know if you noticed that. In fact, a lot of times they're already tired of hearing from you. Well, that don't mean you quit talking to them. You still share the Lord with them when you get an opportunity, if you can do it in a loving way. But you know, sometimes the best thing in the world you can do is say, Lord, send some perfect laborers to minister to them. And you know what? If you'll pray that prayer and pray it in faith, this is a prayer that can change things. And I've seen it happen on plenty of occasions. People will start praying for like that, and all of a sudden folks start showing up in their life. Somebody comes to work on the job where they work or something. Somebody that they can relate to. Everybody can't relate to everybody. And so pray the Lord of the harvest. But I tell you one thing, if you're going to pray this prayer, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest, particularly when that situation when you're walking down the street and you see somebody and you have compassion on them, you say, oh Lord Jesus, this person needs you, they need help, Lord God, would you send somebody to minister the word of God to them, a laborer. When you pray that prayer, you better be willing to be the laborer. And I've told this story before, but it makes such a good point about the preacher that rode the bus to work every day, lived in a city somewhere, and he'd get on the bus and ride it to the church to work. Anyway, I'll make the story short, but the bus started filling up. He always would sit at the seat that had the over the hump where the back wheel was, because he liked to have both seats to spread his books out and stuff, and he could study on the way to long bus ride. And usually people wouldn't want that seat. But then the bus filled up and the seat beside him was the only one left on the bus. And so he had to get his books up and let somebody sit down. And then the next stop, this little old grandmother got on the bus. No seats, they're all full. And she's hanging on that strap and just, you know, wobbling all around. And he had compassion. So he prayed. He said, Lord, you need to have somebody get up and give this old lady a seat. And the Lord said, you're sitting on the answer to your prayer. Well, that might happen when you start praying for the Lord to send laborers. But you might not be the one, but maybe you are. But you better be willing, right? But you know, we're really talking here about you can know the will of God. Once I read Matthew 9:38, I'll never have to question God's will concerning me praying for him to send laborers into the harvest. It could never cross my mind. Well, it might not be God's will to send laborers. No, he's the one that said pray for him to send laborers. I know that that's the will of God. So I can pray this prayer with confidence. When I pray for God to send laborers into the harvest, if it's somebody in my family I'm praying about that needs their life changed, if it's a friend, when I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I am praying right now for this person right here, Lord, for you to send laborers. I usually add a little extra word in there, perfect laborers, but he knows what kind of sin, into the harvest to minister to them. When I pray that prayer, I know absolutely that it's the will of God. Now, when I pray something that's the will of God, this is the confidence I have. I know God hears me, right? And if I know he hears me, I know that I have the petition. So I know that the laborers are on the way. There ain't no question to it. I know that the laborers are on the way. Well, why? Because I know it's the will of God. How do I know it's the will of God? It's right here in the book. And this word is the will of God. So I can pray this prayer with confidence, and I can have confidence that he hears me and will therefore grant my petition. Now, to pray a prayer that changes things, the first thing you need to do is determined from God's word, his will, concerning the thing you're praying about. You don't even need to start praying until, if you're in a position where all you can pray is, Lord, if it be your will, I'm talking about praying a prayer that changes things. I'm going to talk about something else in a minute. Praying about a situation that God needs to do something, until you have established it's his will, you're just about wasting your time praying. What you need to do is be in the book finding the answer so you can pray with faith. Now, I told you last week about Isaiah 55:11. This God says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it'll prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Right? And so, when we return God's word to him, he said, it's not void, but it accomplishes, it gets the job done. And the word in the Greek that's most often translated prayer in the New Testament is the Greek word prosekomeia. Prosecho mea, and that's the word most often translated prayer in the Bible. You hear that little word echo right in the middle of it. You know what an echo is. You go out here in the mountain somewhere and you say hello, and you listen, and the mountain says hello. Well, that mountains can't talk. It's returning your word. But now when God speaks to the end of the earth, it don't bounce off the ground and come back, because God speaks his word into our heart. And what's in your heart in abundance is supposed to come out of your mouth. And so in prayer then, when you're going to pray, the word most often used for prayer in the Bible literally means to say back to God what He has said to you. So we have to learn to pray the Word, because when we're praying the Word, we're praying the will of God. And to pray a prayer that changes things, first determine from God's Word His will concerning the thing that you're praying about. Now, the better you know the Father, the more you'll know His will. And the way you get to know the Father, well, how do you get to know anybody? Spend some time with them, right? The way you get to know anybody, spend some time with them. Find you some opportunities to talk to them. Listen to them. And if I was wanting to get to know, you know, somebody that had written several books, I'd read his books if I wanted to get to know him. If he was telling me about himself in the books. Well, I've got a big old thick book here that actually contains 66 books that the Father had written, tells me all about Him. And you know, the more time I spend in the Word of God, the better I'm going to know the Father. And the more time I spend talking to Him, we call that prayer, I think. And of course, talking to Him, I'm also including listening to Him, because that's when you're really learning something. When you're talking, you're not learning much. So you, me and you could visit all day, and if you did all the talking when we got through, you would know nothing about me. I'd know more than I wanted to know about you. But if we'll sit there and just talk and share and talk back and forth, and you talk a little bit and then you listen, let me talk a little bit like you ought to do in prayer, I tell you, we'll get to know each other. And the better you know the Father, the more you'll know, the better you'll know His will. Now think about it in your natural family. You see, this business about God answers prayer. Sometimes yes, sometimes no, sometimes wait a while. The better you know the Father, the more you're going to know. You're going to know what the answer is going to be before you ask it. Now, because when you get to know your natural parents, and when you were a kid, those that still are, there was times you ask them something, and you already knew they was going to say yes when you asked them. Well, Mama, would it be all right if I bring my friend to church with me Sunday? Well, sure, honey. You knew that before you asked him, didn't you? And then here, I always pick the same absurd example. You get one, you just want to stick with it. 13-year-old kid comes up to you and says, Daddy, I need to go up to the mall. Can I drive the car up to the mall? No. They knew that when they asked. In fact, the answer to that's wait a while, about 3 years. Okay? But you see, and the better you know the Father, the more you're going to know when you pray. It's going to take out that gray area about I don't know what His will is in this. You're going to know that this is the Father's will. Or when you're getting ready to pray, you're going to know this is not the Father's will. And if it's not, ain't no use praying. Right? I said ain't on purpose. I don't always, but sometimes I do. Now, but so you have to know the will of God to pray, but what if you can't find the will of God? What if you look in this book, look in this book, look in this book, and you can't find anything about what you're needing to pray about? Well, He covered that. Look in James chapter 1. I could just quote it to you, but we just will take time to look at it. James chapter 1. I thought I was going to teach four messages about prayer. This is number 5 already, so I know you're getting in a hurry now. James chapter 1 and verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall... Oh, wait a minute, that must be a mistake. And it might be given him. No, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. All right? So if you can't, you search through the Bible and you're looking for some scriptures about this situation you need to pray about, but you cannot really determine what God's will is in this matter. You know what you ought to do? You ought to ask Him for wisdom. And that word wisdom is the Greek word Sophia, or Sophia. And if it's a woman's name, it's Sophia. And if it's a little old town over yonder near Ashbury, I think it's Sophia. But anyway, it means to be able to see the big picture. It means to be able to see things from God's perspective. That's what that wisdom is. See, only God has wisdom. We get knowledge, but we have to get wisdom from God. That's why a lot of people go to school all their life and get their head all full of stuff and don't have any wisdom. They don't know what to do with all this information they have, because you can only get wisdom from God. But if you lack wisdom, ask God. Now, God knows everything. And the Bible says He'll give you that wisdom. Right? But then there's kind of a catch to it. But I tell you one thing, though, when you ask Him and say, Father, I need wisdom about this. You know, I found that most often He doesn't say, in one of them voices like you hear in them Cecil B. DeMille movies, well, Jim, here's the answer to that problem. You know what He'll most often say to me? Way down here in my heart somewhere, I'll hear something say. It might be a little bit of information, or it might just be, well, why don't you go read the book of 2 Chronicles? Lord, that's more than 3 pages. Why don't you just tell me the answer? But you know, the Bible says He's hidden it in a mystery in His Word, and we got to go dig it out. But if He tells you that, it's because you learn something by looking it up. You'll get more than just listening to Him. I wore a little badge when I was in the 3rd or 4th grade when the World Book Encyclopedia salesman came around and sent us home with stuff to convince our parents that if they didn't buy the World Book Encyclopedia, all their children would grow up to be idiots. And I had a little badge that says, we never guess, we look it up. But I like that badge. We never guess, we look it up. Well, I tell you, Christians ought to be that way. And even if you're familiar with Scriptures, I tell you what, there is something special about turning to it in the Bible and reading it to yourself, especially out loud. If there's Scriptures that I know that I can just quote, but I still like to, and that's why a lot of times even familiar Scriptures, I'll ask you to turn to them because I want you to look at it. And one thing so often is you think you know those Scriptures real well, but when you look at it, a lot of times one or two words will jump out and you'll see something in that Scripture you have never seen in all your life, having read it thousands of times, right? All right? So, if you can't find God's will, you're looking in the Word of God and it's just not obvious to you, well, you ought to be praying and asking for wisdom, and the Bible says He'll give it to you. But notice in verse 6 it says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So even this prayer here, now see, you're praying because... All right, you need to pray for this person over here for God to do some certain thing in their life, or praying for you that God needs to do some certain thing in your life. And you really are not sure what God's will is in this matter. And so you search the Scriptures, and you can't really seem to get a handle on what God's will is in this matter. So then you say, well, you know, God said to me that if I lack wisdom, that means I can't see the big picture. Means I can't see things from His viewpoint. Then I need to ask Him. And that He will give me that wisdom. And so then I go to the Father and I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I need wisdom in this matter. And You said to me in James chapter 1, verse 5, that if I lack wisdom, to ask You, and You would give it to me. Alright? I'm not praying an iffy prayer, because the prayer I'm praying is not for the answer to the problem. The prayer I'm praying is for wisdom to be able to see the answer to the problem. So what I have to know when I pray this prayer, in order to know that God hears me, I have to know that I'm praying His will when I'm asking Him for wisdom. Well, is it His will to give me wisdom? That's why He said do it, isn't it? And so when I pray, I can't say, Father, if it's Your will, give me wisdom. Forget that prayer. He already told me it's His will to give me wisdom, but He says He can't give it to me unless I believe He's going to. He said, when I pray that prayer and ask for wisdom, I have to know absolutely, when I pray that prayer, I know that God is hearing me. And I know that He's going to give me that wisdom, because He said He would. Now you see, so even in that, here's a situation, you didn't know what the will of God was in matter A, but now we're praying a prayer concerning matter B, which is God giving me wisdom, and I have to know that it's His will. I have to pray that prayer in faith, I have to know that it's God's will to give me wisdom. Now I know I'm kind of, you know, dragging this out and belaboring this point. And I've been on it really 2 weeks about this, almost the same thing. But we have to get this in us. I tell you, last Wednesday night when I ministered on this, I helped myself. I don't know if I helped y'all, but I helped myself when I saw that if I know that He hears me, I have the answer. And I gave that little old example. because June the 28th of this year, I've been married to her 40 years. And I have found that when I, anything I ask her to do, anything I have ever asked her to do, she's wanting to do it. And so if she doesn't, I know she didn't hear me. And, but see, the reason she's like that is because whatever she asked me to do, I'm ready to do that too. See, we submit therefore one to another. In love, help one another, bless one another. It's amazing how that works. I think I read something in the Bible about it. I think it said, as you would have men do to you, do ye also to them. And that's not just some little nice saying about, well, you ought to treat other people the way you want them to treat you. That says how you treat other people is how they're going to treat you. Well, I tell you what, I'm not just being nice to her so she'll be nice to me, but praise God, I'm glad it works. But I'll tell you one thing, once I found out the law of seed time and harvest, I sure don't want to be ugly to her. Because the Bible says I'd be better living on the roof than living in the house with an angry woman, right? But what you what you sow, you reap, right? Now, look in Romans chapter 8, and let's look at one other situation here. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time in this. I could, but I'm going to deal with it later in another message. But what if you can't find God's will? Well, you know, first you need to get into the Word of God and try and determine God's will about what you need to pray about. If you can't find it, if you can't determine that, let's see. We should, okay. I'm mumbling to myself about the time. Yeah, I got it straight. Since we changed the time of the service, I have to adjust my mind up here. You ask for wisdom. If you can't find the will of God plainly in the Word of God, you ask God for wisdom. You believe He's going to give it to you, and I believe He will. But now, as I said, a lot of times He'll send you to the Word of God. Sometimes, when you ask God, God, I don't know what to do about this situation. I don't know how to pray about it. I don't really know what Your will is in this matter. He might send you to this scripture right here. He's done it to me a couple of times. Because in Romans chapter 8, did I tell you that? Romans 8 and verse 26. It says, likewise the Spirit, notice that's a capital S talking about the Holy Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities. Now, how many know the Holy Spirit? One of His names is the Helper. And it says He helpeth. Well, that's what a helper would do, isn't it? Helpeth. And our infirmities, and that word infirmities means our inability to get results. He helps our inability to get results, for when we know not what we should pray for as we ought. I'll tell you something, when you don't know what you ought to pray for as you ought, you're not going to get results. But the Bible says the Holy Spirit will help you with that. But the Spirit itself, or Himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. As I said, I'm not going to get into this and spend a lot of time on it tonight, but in another message, I'm going to come back to this and weave it with some other things and talk to you about the importance of being able to pray in the Spirit, which it says right here, let the Holy Spirit intercede through you with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, the Holy Spirit praying through you in a language that you never learned. And it says in verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So when I let the Holy Spirit pray through me, you know what He prays? He prays the will of God. You won't catch the Holy Spirit praying nothing that's not the will of God. And so when I can't determine, see, if I knew the will of God in this matter, I can just pray about it. If I don't know the will of God, I think the next thing I probably ought to do is say, Father, give me wisdom. Show me what I need to know about this. Then the Father will give you some direction and tell you what to do. And then another avenue is letting the Holy Spirit do the praying through me. And it says when He does that, He knows the mind of the Spirit and He prays according to the will of God. Now I said prayer changes things, but some people prayer changes more things than other things. Have you found out that when you pray right, things go better in your life? Have you found out things work out better for you when you pray right? Amen. All right, so then, and so now we got the Holy Spirit praying this prayer through me. It's coming out of my mouth, but the Holy Spirit lives in me. And the Bible says what's in your heart in abundance will come out of your mouth. I got the Holy Spirit in my heart. Therefore, it would be inconceivable to think He couldn't come out of my mouth. All right? And verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. All right, that word in verse 28. Now, you know verse 20, Romans 8, 28. People quote that all the time and use it for things it's not really intended for. Now, I firmly believe that when the devil does something bad, God can work some good out of it, particularly if you'll pray right about it. But this is not really talking about that. This is talking about when you don't know how to pray as you ought to, that the Holy Spirit will make intercession for you with groanings that cannot be uttered. He will pray a prayer through you that is according to the will of God. And then, of course, First John 5 tells us that this is the confidence we have if we ask anything in accordance with the Father's will. Well, if I'm letting the Holy Spirit pray for me and He prays a prayer according to the will of God, I just pray the prayers in accordance with God's will, didn't I? So the assurance I have, the confidence I have, is that He heard me. And then I know that because He heard me, if I know He heard me, I know I have the petition. I don't even know what I asked for. But I know it's good because it's God's will, and God's will for me is good, and I just prayed that prayer, and that's what He's going to give me. And, once again, you better be prepared. You better have your heart right, because if you don't know what you're praying, and it's according to the will of God, just like when you prayed, Lord, send somebody to minister the word to this poor soul right here. He might say, you go. Well, if you can't get up the courage to pray that in English, he just liable to, you might have been praying a prayer, Lord, got all these drunks and winos and everybody hangs out on this street corner down here. Lord, you need to raise up somebody, you need to raise up a street preacher, Lord, to come down here and preach to them. And then one day you're praying in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost, the Father might hear you praying. Here am I, Lord, send me. All right, well, but you know what? If God calls you to do it, He'll prepare your heart and you'll want to do it. Sometimes it just takes Him a long time to prepare people's hearts. All right, praying in the Spirit. But it says, verse 28, we know that all things. Now that word things has something to do with this. You can look it up in your concordance and find out what it means. If you've got a Strong's concordance or something, you can look that word things up. But there's several different ways that are translated things, but in Romans 8:28, the word for things is the Greek word logos, logos, or logos, some people say. I don't speak Greek, so I don't know. Logos. All logos. What's logos? It's the utterings of God. Logos is the utterings of God. All right, so when the Holy Spirit prays a prayer for me, when I don't know how to pray as I ought to, and I let the Holy Spirit do the prayer, and He prays a prayer that's in accordance with the will of God. Well, if it's the will of God He's praying, how do I pray the will of God? I pray the Word of God. When I pray the will of God, I pray the Word of God. When the Holy Spirit prays the Word of God, how does He do it? He prays the Word of God. And so the Holy Spirit, on my behalf, is speaking the utterances of God. He is speaking logos. And all that logos, all them utterings of God will work together, cause things to work together for my good. See, things, you can't go into Greek and make that translate car wreck. You can't make it translate cancer. None of that stuff. That's not the things He's talking about. He's talking about when you get the Holy Spirit involved in your prayer life and let Him pray a perfect prayer for you in accordance with the will of God, stuff's going to start working for you because the Word of God has been prayed on your behalf, and all that Word of God that's getting prayed is going to work together for your good. Amen. Anybody else want to say amen? All right. Now, so all that was to do, ask for wisdom, let the Spirit do the praying. We're talking about then in a case where you couldn't determine the will of God. But you know what? It seems to me like most people that pray iffy prayers. Well, if it's your will, Father. Most people that pray iffy prayers, it's because they're too lazy to spend the time in the Word of God and in prayer to find out what the Father's will is. If you want to pray with confidence, this is the confidence we have that if we ask anything according to His will, we know He hears us. And if we know He hears us, we know we have the petition that we ask of Him. If you want to pray a prayer that changes things, you're going to have to put some work into it. Now, what you're doing, we have the petition that we ask of Him. What if there was something that was really, really, really important to you? And it was something that maybe it involved your property and something you needed to do with it. And the government has said you can't do it. And so you get you a lawyer and he says to you, well, or you just talk to one, you want to do it yourself, but what can I do here? You go ask the county commissioners, what can I do? Do I have any recourse? And they say, well, you can petition us to change this on your behalf. All right, I know what you'd do. You'd say, well, glory to God, praise God. Get your little scrap of paper somewhere, tear a scrap corner off of a piece of notebook paper, write you a little note on here and say, dear county commissioners, if it's your will to let me do this, then let me do it. Amen. And go give it to them. And expect them to do anything for you. No, you're not an idiot, are you? You know what you would do? You would get you some nice looking paper. And you would get out all the books you could find that had to do with this. And you would talk to everybody. I'm talking about before you go to the meeting and petition them. You're going to do your homework. You're going to look it up and see, well, here's what they can do. I found out that the law says that they can do this if they want to. And over here, I talked to one of my neighbors, and he said in 1986 that he had a problem just almost like this. And here's what he told them, and here's what they did for him. And you're going to get all this stuff down, and now you're going to go present your petition to them. And now, because you've got it lined up and you found out what really their will really is in this matter, and you get it put it in a framework that you know it's their will the way you're wanting them to do it, and present it to them, you go up there with confidence, I know they're going to do it for me. But now, why don't people pray like that? Most people are too lazy to pray. Now, they're not too lazy to get up in the morning and say, but this is the day the Lord has made. Father, bless me today. Amen. They're not too lazy for that, but what I'm talking about, most folks will not get themselves in the Word of God because it's been made easy on them. They've been taught that, well, just say, Father, if it's your will, and if He wants to do it, He'll do it. But you know what? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Now, I want to say before I leave that part, if I got any time left, a little bit, there are prayers you pray that you don't know what God's will is about. Prayers of consecration. Prayers where you need direction in your life. A lot of times I don't know just what God wants me to do about a certain thing, and it's not spelled out in the Word of God. Now, I can pray for Him to give me wisdom. That's still valid. But, you know, it's like we sang that song about the steps of a righteous man or order to the Lord. Is that the one we sang or something along that line? So I know it's God's will to direct me. I know it's God's will to guide my path and direct my life. And so even in that, I can't pray and say, Father, I know that You want me to go over here and do such and such a thing, and so therefore, Lord, make it happen. I don't always know that. And in fact, most of the time when I've got any direction from God, now I praise God for prophets that are bold enough to get up and say, God just told me such and so. Well, and I believe in the prophetic gift, and I think people hear from God that way. But you know, most of the time, I'd have to say to you, you know what? I just feel like I just heard God speaking to me, and here's what I think He said. And the rest of it I have to do by faith, right? But in a situation like that, these same principles still apply, because when I go to the Father and say, Father, Lord, I don't know what You've got in mind about this situation, but I know that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord, and Father, I'm asking You now, and I have total confidence that You are going to direct me in this matter. But you know, He always seems to do it a step at a time. The problem is we'd like Him to tell us what the destination is. He just usually tells you where the next step is, right? You know, just like I used to, when I was in the scale business, and I did the work too, and I remember one time we hired a new guy, and he was helping me. And I was up under an old truck scale down there in the pit, laying on my belly in the mud. And, And then this guy was over here in the corner somewhere. Now, he didn't know. He hadn't had enough experience. He'd worked a little bit. But I told him, all right, put the jack right under there and jack it up. Well, he did that. I said, now, I want you to reach in there and feel such and such a thing, and I want you to lift it out of there. And so he's just sitting there. And I said, what are you doing? Well, what do you want me to do after that? I said, I want you to do that. Then I'll tell you what. I knew if I told him two things, he couldn't get them right. I want you to do that, and then I'll tell you what to do after that. Well, you know, God knows if he tells me two things, I can't get them right. And so when he's giving me directions, now you know when Christians give directions how to get somewhere, they know how to get you there. This is church people. You ask any church person how to get somewhere. They say, go down here until you come to Bojangles. Take a left. Go down there about 3 blocks, you'll see a Burger King. Turn right beside it. When you get down there, there's a Kentucky Fried Chicken about a half a block past there. All right. But you know, if I was in the car with you, I'd just say, all right, turn right down here at the next light. All right, now when you see that stop sign down there, you're going to have to make a hard left-hand turn when you get down there. Well, but the thing is, even when I don't know, and I pray for God to give me direction, I got the confidence he's going to do that. He won't let me get out here wandering around lost. But I just got to learn to follow him a step at a time. All right? I thought I was going to get further tonight, but I am going to get just a little further, because the next thing, the first thing was to pray the prayer that changes things. You have to pray in the will of God. And the next thing, and really I'm already, these fit together so well that I'm already into this anyway, but the next thing is you have to pray in faith. But you start with the first, because you cannot pray in faith unless you know it's the will of God. You can't really have confidence that God has heard your prayer, and because he heard your prayer, you know you have the answer, unless you know it's the will of God. And, you know, this is where a lot of people miss it. This is where these iffy prayers come in. Well, what's faith? Faith believing God and acting like it. I could add another word in there, because really this is literally true. Faith is believing God's word and acting like it, right? And then how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So faith is always a product of the Word of God. Faith is based on a specific promise of God's Word. So when you pray in faith, you are praying based on a specific promise of God's Word. You had to know His will. All right, you come down here for healing. All right? If you come down here for healing, especially at this altar, you present yourself to me. I know the Bible says in James 5:14, if there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. They will anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus and pray the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick and the Lord will raise them up, right? All right? So, you know what I would do? I would just act on what James 5:14 said. I mean, God put it in the Bible. So if you're sick, I'm going to anoint you with oil. Now, there's other ways to pray for healing, but primarily at the altar, if somebody comes, that's what I do, because the Bible says any among you come to the elders of the church, okay? And you said, well, I'm not an elder. Well, the Bible didn't say anything about you anointing folks with oil. I don't think it'll hurt. But God did say you can lay your hands on them and they'll recover, right? Hands are cheaper than oil. You don't have to buy oil to get somebody healed. You got hands. God had you born with hands. But what am I talking? We're just acting on the Word of God. We're praying the Word of God. Father, I thank you for your word in James 5 and verse 14, which says, if the elders of the church to anoint the sick with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus and pray the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith to save the sick, and the Lord raise them up. I know it's the will of God. We're praying it. We're praying it in faith, believing God's going to do something. All right? But now when we pray it in faith, I tell you, there's several folks got to be in faith. The man praying needs to be in faith, and the one getting prayed for needs to be in faith. That's why the pastor, a lot of times he'll tell you, now those of you that got prayed for, receive it. Receive what God has done for you. Look at Mark 11, and I'm getting about ready to wrap it up here for tonight. Mark 11, and this is very familiar scripture to you. Mark 11 and verse 22. We could just quote these. But verse 22, Jesus answered and saith unto them, have faith in God. Now that's where it all starts. Have faith in God. Saying, I don't have faith in my faith. I have faith in God. And verse 23 says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith." Now your Bible says that. It says that if you will say to this mountain, now whether it's a literal mountain or a mountain of a problem, if you will say to this mountain, "Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea," and you don't doubt in your heart, but you believe. What do you believe? You believe that those things which you say shall come to pass. It's just like 1 John 5. If you pray according to the will of God, you know that He hears you. And if He hears you, you know that you have the petition that you ask of Him. In this case, you're having faith in God that if you say to this problem, now, you know, the assumption here is this is something, this is in God's will, because you can't have faith in God for something that's not His will. If God said to you, I mentioned this Sunday, just well bring it up here again. Y'all know, don't you, no matter what you've done in your past life, all you got to do is take it to Jesus, confess it as sin, 1 John 1:9, He forgives you and He cleanses you, right? And He wipes the slate clean, all right? So whatever you've done in your past, don't let that keep you drugged down. Just get it taken care of and under the blood of Jesus and go on and do it right from now on. But I said Sunday that, I mentioned divorce once in a while. And people say, well, why are you down on divorce? The reason I'm down on divorce is because God said He hates it. And I'm not going to be a friend of something that God hates. No way I can be a friend of something that God hates. And most of you, even that have experienced it, you hate it too. Because even though you might have got you out of a bad situation or whatever the deal, but see, if somebody is praying, well, God, I'm fixing to divorce my husband, God, and I want you to bless this divorce. No. See, you can't pray that in faith. You can pray it, but you can't pray it in faith, because faith is believing God. And God said, I hate it. So I could have maybe found another example, but that one came to my mind. So just hunker down and take it. But in verse 24 then, see, what do I believe? I have faith in God. What do I believe? I believe that if I will say to this problem, I will say to this mountain, I will say to this problem I'm having in my marriage, I'm talking to you in the name of Jesus, problem. And I tell you, a lot of times you need to go look in the mirror to talk to the problem. You're going to have to get out of my marriage, this problem. This problem of a hot wagging tongue and anger and all that, I'm telling you in Jesus' name, you're going to have to get out of my marriage and get out of my life. And then you say, praise God. God said, if I say it and believe it, I got it. I got it because I believe it. All right? But then verse 24 says, therefore, I say to you that what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. And I really even like that. If you'll notice in your King, if you got the King James Bible there, the word in when it says them and them both times down there at the end, it's in italics. And that means it wasn't in the original text, but they added it at the discretion of the translators to help you understand it. But I like it without them. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have. Believe that you receive and you shall have. Therefore, what's therefore? Because of what I just got through telling you. Because if you believe that what you speak out of your mouth when you're trusting in God is going to come to pass, you're going to have it. Therefore, what things soever you desire when you pray, prayer comes out of your mouth, doesn't it? Believe that you receive and you shall have. Believe that you receive and you shall have. You have to pray in faith. You want to pray the prayer that changes things? You have to pray in faith. I read you the scripture a while ago in James chapter 1. Even if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and he'll give it to you. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For a double-minded man is unstable. That man don't need to think he's going to get anything from God. See, if you waver and if you can't decide if God wants to give it to you or not, I can help you with the answer to that. He's not. Because what's the condition? What do you have to do to get saved? You have to believe it. You have to believe that Jesus Christ went to a cross and died on a cross and paid the penalty for your sin. And he said that if you will just believe that and accept it, I will forgive you all your sins, you'll be born again, and you can go to heaven when you die. And you know, people will come to the altar time after time after time and keep praying a prayer and then say, well, I don't know if God saved me or not. I can help you. He didn't. You know why? Because you didn't believe it. You didn't believe what God said. God said, I'll forgive you. You're born again. You have to believe it. Now, but you know, if you feel like, well, I'm one of them, I'm not sure. Well, all you got to do, every time we have service around here, we have a chance to come to the altar. And I've often said, if you think you're saved, but you keep having these doubts and you don't know if you are or not, come to the altar and say, I don't know about up to now, but I know starting tonight, I am right with God and born again, right? Because I did what the Bible said and I released my faith. You have to pray in faith. I'm going to have to quit here and we'll start again next week. But I'll tell you something. It's just like James 5:14. What kind of prayer is it that saves the sick? Prayer of faith. Prayer of faith shall save the sick. Be careful who prays for you. You know, if folks, I've had folks that go to churches that don't ever anoint people with oil, don't ever pray for the sick, preach against healing. And then one of their dear, most precious members that sings in the choir, plays the organ, goes to the doctor and the doctor says, you got cancer. And then they look in the Bible, some of them, and it's kind of weird, you know, and visits around other places and says, you know, well, the Bible says that the elders of the church ought to anoint the sick with oil and God will heal them, maybe. And so then they bring the sick one down here to this church that's never preached healing. Nobody in the church got faith for healing. They call up these 12 men that somebody elected to be elders. Two of them are born again. The rest of them are just there because they want to argue about what the preacher's doing with the money. And they say, okay, let's do this thing. And they get out the oil and they put a little on their finger and say, God, if it's your will. And listen, ain't nobody prayed a prayer of faith. They don't have faith for healing. But it might even be in a church where they're all saved, but they don't know nothing about having faith for healing. So I tell you, when you're going to get prayed for, the person praying for you needs to have faith. You need to have faith. You need to be careful who prays for you. And the Bible says, lay hands suddenly on no man, but I'll tell you what else. I'm particular about who lays hands on me. Because in the laying on of hands, there's an impartation of a transfer of spirits, and I don't want just everybody's. Amen? All right, let's just stand our feet. I'm going to quit right there in midstream. I'm still talking about you have to pray in faith, but we're talking about how to pray prayer that changes things. And I'll continue on next week. See how far we get, but we're going to finish up praying in faith. We're going to talk about praying in the name of Jesus. And we're going to talk about praying with boldness. All right, and then maybe a couple other things if we get to it. Father, in Jesus' name.